Starting, it's on the air. Wow, we're cool. All right, so the stream has begun. This is the 19th of January, 2014. I'm Vance Stevens in Abu Dhabi. We're sitting here with my co-moderators in EVO Multimook. Multimook is at goodbyegutenberg.pbworks.com. And these are Jim Buckingham, who's going to talk to us tonight about badges. And we also have Ali Bostanjoglu. Did I get it right? Bostanjoglu? Okay. Good. Thumbs up. That's the right pronunciation. It's the first time I've tried that. And Ali is also a co-moderator with Multimook. And this is the first week of a five-week EVO session. The first week was on orientation, but this week is going to be about badges and also declaring. Don't need to really go into that right now, but basically we're at a point where Jim is going to tell us about badges. In the fourth week, Ali is going to take over, as at least for part of that week, and he's going to give us a presentation on openness and PLNs and our networks. So it's a networking week, so we're going to be talking about networking. So we're following Dave Cormier's five means of coping with MOOCs, which is to orient, declare, network, cluster, and focus. And that's what the 5 weeks in the session are about. And we're also here with two delightful faces, Elaine Hoter and Maisie, and both from Israel, and we welcome you. And other people are welcome to join. We have this, these are five people in the chat now, so if you're listening to the stream, you can chat with us in Chatwing. That's at webheadsinaction.org/live. So you can log in as a guest, or you can put your Twitter ID, your Facebook ID. In fact, by the way, I'd like to ask the people in this Hangout to please chat in Chatwing so that we reach the people in the stream. So we're not going to use the chat here in Hangout. We're going to try to use the chat, except as a back channel if you need to alert us to something. But yes, the right place to chat will be Chatwing, Ali. So if you can go over there. And would anybody like to say anything before we get started? I think Ali was about to say something. Yeah, go ahead. Introduce yourself. Uh-oh, you're muted. You're muted. You have to unmute.
Okay. Is it okay now? Sorry. It's the first time I'm on Google Hangout. So
you're doing really well.
Inexperienced, yeah, so far. Hello, everyone. I'm Ali. I'm a PhD student studying in the UK. And thanks to Vance, here I am here with you today. I hope it will be a good session, and it's really exciting for me to be here. Thank you.
Okay.
Ali is one of our co-moderators for this session, and Jim is the other one. And but before we begin, just Elaine, Maisie, would you like to say anything to get onto the recording, or tell us why you're here, or anything you'd like to comment on? Do you use badges at all in your context?
No, I don't use any badges, but I'd really like to start using them. But and moderator in the mentor.
Okay, that was a little hard to understand. Be sure and mute when you're not talking to us. We get a little echo. So, but that's okay. You could just back off your mic a little bit if you need to. Elaine, any comments from you before we get started?
I'm just very interested to know how you do this. I've been following Vance for hundreds of years, and he always teaches me new things. So I'm here today to learn some more.
Vice versa. Yeah, since last century. I think that's how we got started some long time ago. One of my first online conference experiences with a conference that you guys had set up, that MOFAT, I believe. And okay, well, Jim, You're the only other that we have here in a Hangout, and it's over to you. Have you figured out the SlideShare?
We're going to find out how much I've figured out SlideShare right now. Yeah, I've got it open in another tab, and so I'm going to go right there right now. I think I'm going to try to go to the tab, and then I'm going to try and make it full screen. And let's see if I can do that.
You won't be able to adjust the screen size. When you start the screen share, it will come up in place of your avatar. Your avatar will become full screen as you're talking. And I can also make your avatar stay full screen. So once you start the screen share, we can manage that.
Okay, I've now gone to screen share, and I'm looking at a set of options here. I'm going to start the screen share with my desktop.
You have to grab that window, the window in the your browser window. Just share that. Yeah, your desktop is going to be too busy. There you go. Yeah.
Got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We
there
had
we go.
It. Mm-hmm.
It's got it now.
Yep.
Okay, and I can't. You're advising me against making this a full screen.
No, to get that as a full screen, you need to select just that browser window, not the whole desktop.
Ah, okay. Well, let me try that again, because it might be better for everyone.
Okay.
Bear with me. My apologies here.
No worries. We're all learning.
I'm just not seeing that option available to me. Okay. No, I don't think I'm going to have that option. That's okay. I can manage with that, I guess. Let's see how this works out.
You could expand it in your desktop and share the desktop.
Yeah, let's see if I can do this. I'm on a Mac. I can make it a little bit bigger for everybody. Here, that may work. How's that?
Okay, that's fine.
Excuse me here. And I'm going to hide some toolbars here, give us some more screen real estate.
Okay, so Jim is going to talk to us tonight about badges, and he's attended a MOOC on badges and has gotten really into it. He's trying to push the concept. Maybe I could ask people if anyone has any comment about badges, well, you could tell us what you know about them. If you're
That would be good for me to know too. Tie it into the presentation.
If you're in the stream, you can type into any questions into the chat wing that we have up there. I can see Mubarak is interacting, for example, and I see some hellos, and so we can read you. We can see your questions there. You're welcome to join us in the Hangout. If you refresh any of those windows, let's see if I can put that there we go. I've got the direct Hangout link in the chat wing now. You'll have to copy and paste it, I believe. But you could also get it directly if you go to webedsinaction.org/live. If you got there 15 minutes ago, you'll have to refresh it, but you'll see at the top the link to the direct link you can click on to join us in the Hangout. And also at learningtogether.pbworks.com. You can find this link as well.
Okay, let me explain to you what I've got in mind to do here. My purpose is really to introduce badges with the assumption that there's the possibility that someone watching this may never have even heard of the concept of certainly open digital badges, but there's a good chance that everyone's had exposure to the term badges. And then in conclusion, hopefully I've given you enough to chew on that perhaps we can be thinking about possible applications of this to this MOOC or your own particular situation. So let me begin. A quick introduction of myself, a little bit of my background. I'm working at Zayed University, have been here for quite some time. I'm an instructor most of the time and a qualified education technologist. You wanted to learn more about me, there's a link there which will take you to LinkedIn. You can look at that at another time. Here's what I've got in mind to do as an outline. Vance, just give me a confirmation if that's coming up on the screen okay.
Yep, looking very good.
Okay, so I'm going to start with probably what you already know. You're likely to have come in contact with badges. There's a very good chance you've even come in contact with digital badges. there's less of a likelihood that you've come in contact with open digital badges. So I'm going to go through each of those, and some of it I'll go through rather quickly. And after that, I'm thinking you're going to want to know something about open digital badges as it applies to work, as it applies to education, and then in an area that is less commonly thought of in the context of badges, professional development. I'll also talk a little bit about how they work. Sorry, I should have something to drink here. Possible applications here being wherever you might be, and some current criticism of badges. That's a lot to cover. I'll be going through some of it rather quickly, so let's begin. First step, what do we mean by a badge? Well, I'd be awfully surprised if you haven't come across this, a sheriff's badge or a first aid badge or even military badges. I mean, these are common ways in which we've come in contact with badges. Even these, special badges, you may have gone out and purchased these and tagged them on, wearing them to show an allegiance to an interest or whatever.
Yeah, they designate a rank, or they designate an accomplishment, or an affinity, or something like that. And I'd like to encourage people to interrupt if you have any comments or questions. I hope we can do that, Jim. Is that okay?
That's fine. Here's an opportunity right now. An opportunity right now. Do you recognize these, anyone?
Scout merit badges?
That's it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So these are just ways in which we may have come in contact with badges. These are certainly going to be less common. Recognize these? I kind of doubt it.
Nope.
These are coming from the Royal Canadian Army back in the 50s and 60s. Just showing you the extent to which badges have been used, in this case for denoting skills or specialties or expertise. Gets pretty exhaustive, the extent to which badges have been used, and leading right up to today with the St. John's Ambulance awarding skill badges. And then we can get into some real frivolous stuff. You've probably come across these, perhaps too, having some fun with badges. Badges. So what does a badge show? Well, like Vance was alluding to or mentioned there earlier, we're talking about showing perhaps someone's rank, their competencies, their affiliation, a special interest or accomplishment, even a reputation or recognition, though I haven't really given you a badge to illustrate that yet. And then typically, how do we go about earning a badge? Well, it's stating the obvious, we're typically doing something to earn them, and we typically have to produce some evidence to earn them. And that evidence has to be assessed by someone with a set of criteria to help us earn them. No surprises, right? Okay. And the key question here is, how is the evidence assessed? Well, it's typically assessed by a set of standards. And who's setting those standards? Well, that's a separate topic for debate. But it typically comes in there somewhere.
Yeah, to me, that's the most interesting part of badges, you know, is how, you know, anybody can award a badge. As we were talking about earlier, on a NING, if you join a NING, you get a badge that you can put on your website, but it doesn't really set standards of what you earn when you get that badge.
Yeah, and this becomes critical in, when we talk about currency of badges and just the validity of badges. Get to that as we move through here. Now, let's take it a step further. What's a digital badge? Now, I have a question for anybody. Has anybody come in contact with digital badges that they're aware of?
Well, I was mentioning in our video that we made earlier that when I went on to Nellie's MOOC, I filled in my profile, and bang, I got a badge for filling in my profile. Now if I go to my profile, it has two badges there. One of them is for filling in the profile, and I'm not sure what the other one is, but I got a reward. I did something good.
Anyone else? I'm not looking at the screen there. No, I don't see. Okay. Well, there's probably a good chance that you have. Let's go move along here. There are a couple of definitions of digital badges to perhaps coax you or make the connection here. Has anyone here heard of or have been involved with using Foursquare? Well, you by using Foursquare, if you're not familiar with it, quite commonly used with the help of Facebook. I'm not going to go into the details of it, but more importantly is the fact that you can earn badges using Foursquare, and oftentimes you're rewarded for using Foursquare as a result of it. Here's an example. Somebody earning a free coffee, at Starbucks, I think, this being in London. Or how about TripAdvisor?
So your badge has currency in that case. You can exchange your badge for a Starbucks?
Yeah, that's the idea. In using Foursquare. And then TripAdvisor, I think they're getting into the realm of awarding people things for using it, but at the moment I haven't seen anything openly advertised. Perhaps you've seen this if you've been using TripAdvisor at all. People that get awarded a recognition for their level of involvement. This person here being badged for being a senior contributor.
Mubarak has mentioned... Mubarak has mentioned in the chat that he took a 10-week course with Adobe and got an education trainer badge. So,
okay, here we go.
Mubarak, welcome into the chat if you want to join us.
And it would be great to hear more about it. Mubarak, it would be great to hear from your perspective too. More on that in a second. I'd love to have you on the panel here. I don't know if anyone's used Edmodo. A lot of teachers are here, certainly in the UAE, and with it is the opportunity to be issuing badges by a teacher to their students. Some examples here. I got quite a chuckle out of this one. There's one in here that's been authored by the teacher called Needs to Focus. Somebody using it here to sort of coax somebody along with trying to change the behavior, shall we say.
I noticed that Maisie and Ali have both made comments in the text chat, and you're welcome to make your comments here on... Ali wants to know what's the difference between a badge and a logo. So,
oh, big difference. I mean, the logo you could copy and paste, whereas the badge is typically going to be issued to you by someone. For you to earn the badge, you've had to create something. There has to be some evidence of you doing something to have earned the badge.
Okay, I see. It's like on eBay, I don't know if you are familiar with it, but like the more transactions you do, the color of your star changes. So similar, something like that.
Right? Okay, yeah, sure. eBay is trying to acknowledge that the level that somebody can have, the level of trust that somebody can have in you as a seller.
Okay, yeah.
And Maisie said that she notes that they're good with kids with ADHD, attention deficit disorder. And maybe, Maisie, you're welcome to tell us more about that if you want.
Are you using them now, Maisie, for that?
And you're muted, just to let you know, Maisie. Oh, Maisie, sorry. Yeah, both of you are muted, Maisie and Elaine.
No worries. You can bring it in. We'll probably come back to it later. Right now, I'm just introducing the concept here, and it seems like some of you have already, you know, you've ventured into this area. No surprise. But for others, it may not. It may be new.
That was Elaine, by the way, who's making those comments. And also Maria is mentioning her Maria Colosa, and she's made badges for people with Edmodo, and I'm trying to encourage her in the text chat to join us.
Oh, good.
Mark says he's going to try to join, so we'll try to get some more voices in. You're welcome to join us if you're in the stream and you have any comments or you have questions. You're welcome to join us in the Hangout.
That's great. If anybody's had that experience with Edmodo, they could probably vouch for how simple it is to realize a badge and how simple it is to award it to a student. Perhaps they can talk about why they've used badges, what the motivation was, and just how effective they were in realizing what they intended to use them for.
I was wanted to comment that it could be the opposite. I mean, I think that the example you gave was you need to focus is the worst thing you could give a child with ADHD, and not because it's nowhere. Badges we like to use for positive things, particularly education today, and not negative. That was my comment.
Okay. Yep. Appropriate use, safe use, a lot of issues, contextual issues surrounding the use of badges. We'll come to that actually when we talk about criticism here. Moving along here, perhaps you're familiar with the Khan Academy. It's using badges. There's a sampling of them there. And I've even come across a couple of instances where kids have actually been gaming the system, trying to vouch for them having earned a particular level on Khan Academy that they haven't done the work for, such as the gaming that they obviously there's some recognition by their peers or a sense of awe from their peers in earning so many points to get awarded these badges that they thought it worthwhile to possibly game the system. Some of these sun badges, as they're called, being an example. And so, and like a regular badge, the same thing exists with a digital badge. You need to earn it by doing something. There has to be evidence produced to earn it. How is that? What's done with that evidence? It's typically assessed. And then we have the same old issue, assessed by a set of standards. And whose standards are they? Okay, so I've introduced badges, I've introduced digital badges. Now we're talking a new thing here. Vance, you want to jump in there?
Well, I was just going to say that you should be able to click on the badge and see its credential, and you should probably be able to click on the badge and see that it was awarded to you and for what it was awarded to give it real validity. In other words, not something you just copy and paste in your blog.
Yeah, you're onto it. The whole notion of how to construct it. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you're already bringing up some of the issues that are pretty common with it. Mm-hmm. So the issue then becomes you know what a badge is, you know what a digital badge is, you know the issue I've already presented just briefly about the notion of how are these going to be assessed, how are they going to be awarded then. Typically, there's a need for a set of standards if you're going to have any sort of validity or currency beyond simply you awarding yourself a badge. But another issue here is the openness of this. And that's an issue which I want to present to you now. I point out to you that all of the examples that I've given you so far are not open badges. What do I mean by that? Well, it should become apparent here in a minute. Mozilla Open Badges is the response to these being closed badges. What do we mean by open and closed? Closed means that the badges are only really useful within that ecosystem, within Foursquare, within TripAdvisor, within Khan Academy, within Edmodo, which makes it very, very difficult, not impossible, but very, very difficult to move those badges out of those ecosystems so that they can be shared anyplace else. So if a student is building up skills in Foursquare or TripAdvisor or Khan Academy or Edmodo, they can't be pooled and shared with others outside of those ecosystems. Is that clear? It's the Mozilla Open Badges that's attempting to make badges open, earned, and then openly available to be used and shared with others. Making those badges so that when they're issued, it's clearly seen how the badge was earned, with hopefully a link to evidence, a link to who issued them, so there can be a follow-up on it if somebody wants to check them out. This has huge, huge implications, massive implications.
I was just going to help prompt you on that, and that is to say that this is where we're getting to where you could present one to your employer. You know, it's a credential that has some parity with a certificate of some kind.
And this to me is incredible. I think that the opportunities here are immense. I'll show you what I mean. I'm not sure we've got time for this right now, and I'm not even sure it will work, but I've got a video here which would introduce you to open badges. It's not long, but it would be worth sharing with you. Here, I'll try and give you that link, because I think just even the basic introductions in that 3 minutes would save us all a lot of time. Here goes. I'm going to put it in the chat there, and take a look at that right now. I'll give you the time to do that. How's that work, Vance?
Yeah, that's fine.
Because if I go to the next slide, I've actually got the video. Can I play it within this and everyone see it? I don't believe so.
You could try and share it with us. You might put your microphone up to it and see if it will play for us. If you want to. How long is it?
It's 3 minutes, 3.5
okay.
minutes.
Okay, well, that would be better probably, because if otherwise we'd have 3 minutes of dead time, or we'd be trying to fill it, you know, in the
True.
Recording. Yeah, so,
okay,
so see if you can just share it.
Mm-hmm. And if just everything crashes, I'll blame you. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there you are. Well,
okay,
I will talk until you come back.
Yeah. Here we go.
So put your microphone.
We can no longer think of learning in one way. Today's social and economic challenges require learning that engages students, keeps pace with technological change, teaches 21st century skills, and provides meaningful assessments of our learning. How do we recognize and value the way we learn today? What if we used badges? What is a badge? A badge is an online representation of a skill or achievement you've earned. They've been used in gaming and online spaces to motivate behavior, recognize achievement, and establish credibility. What if we used badges for learning? Badges could be created and issued by anyone: schools, online spaces, cultural and civic institutions, community and professional organizations, to represent a limitless set of skills, achievements, and knowledge. Badges could be earned by anyone completing programs or projects or demonstrating specific knowledge, skills, and abilities. Badges could be shared on websites or blogs, social media profiles, online portfolios, and resumes, leading to real opportunities like connecting with potential collaborators, earning school credit, or getting a job. But in order to give badges wide credibility and acceptance, a robust badge ecosystem needs to be developed. Much work has already been done in critical areas. Mozilla's Open Badges infrastructure provides the software and open technical standard for everyone to earn, issue, and display badges across various contexts. A growing community of badge experts has developed various models of badge systems for anyone to use and adapt. Significant research has been done to provide a base of evidence about the potential of badges. A campaign is underway enlisting employers, colleges and universities, urban school districts, and after-school programs to expand demand for and supply of badging opportunities. The promise is to ensure that badges give everyone recognition for the learning that happens anywhere, and lets them share it in the places that matter. So what do badges mean for learning? Badges recognize learning as a lifelong pursuit. For youth, badges let us see that learning goes beyond classrooms. Skills like creativity and collaboration and passionate interests become as visible as subjects like math and science. Badges show our learning as more than a collection of test scores and grades, but as learning pathways rich with detail and information. This empowers students to guide their own learning, teachers to better engage students, and colleges to expand their admissions process. Badges continue into adulthood, recognizing the learning that happens in various jobs and in personal and professional development opportunities. Badges capture knowledge, skills, and accomplishments not found on resumes. This helps workers transfer learning across different industries, and employers find the unique talents and skill sets in demand. Badges cultivate critical values needed in learning today. They make learning more open, democratic, and transparent. They cultivate deeper and connected learning, where learning happens through sharing. They make learning more adaptable to change and open to innovation. Openness, sharing, innovation. These are the values needed in learning today.
Oh, worked, Vance.
Yes, it did. And I'd like to welcome Mubarak to the Hangout, and also someone else. Is that Eleni? I'm not really sure who's joined us. Who else has joined us? If you have a microphone, you can say hi and tell us who you are.
Hi, my name is Kiran Levy. I'm from Orlo College in Israel.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. And Mubarak, you're muted. You'll have to, yeah, there you go. Okay, you can talk to us if you want. If you want to tell us your experience with badges, if you do you have anything to share with us while you're here? Either of you who've just joined, huh?
For me, it's new, totally new, and very interesting. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, Mubarak, feel free to interrupt at any time. Just and if while you're not speaking, though, can you please mute your mic? You'll see that I do that myself, and that's just to keep extraneous noise out of the recording. Okay, well, Jim, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to, the two questions that I've posed there up on the screen right now, what problems are open digital badges being presented as a solution for? Is it clear? Why have these things? What's the problem that they're seeking to address? You might want to make a comment or two either on the chat, or you can share with us vocally now.
Okay. Well, I guess I would say I would sum it up myself. And please, anybody, I was waiting for someone else to come in on that. But in an age of abundance where information is so widely available, it's hard for us to document the learning that we're doing. For example, in EVO sessions, or just all the time, the opportunities now are every day, almost every hour. You can join a session, you can learn something, you can join a MOOC. There's no way to the badges intend to help us. Say I want to learn some kind of coding, I might go to a place where that will teach me that, and if I get an open digital badge that has some standard attached to it, I could take that to another place and I could show somebody that I had achieved the skill that the badge suggests that I have. And this would have credibility if the person could, if this badge had some imprimatur to it, you know, that it was recognized as being as a part of a standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the key thing here is there's recognition that a lot of learning, more and more learning, is taking place in informal surroundings outside of the classroom, and that it's now possible with the online tools that we have to actually give recognition for that. And badges are seen as a possibility for realizing that. The possibility of rewarding kids who may have, who are self-motivated to learn stuff, and to now give them credit for it, to acknowledge the work that they do. That's principally the idea, that there's formal education that gets recognized with grade school marks or with certificates or diplomas, and then there's informal learning that goes on, and that's taking place at self-directed oftentimes. This has huge, huge ramifications in so many different things, and that I'll explore that with you here in a moment. Vance, you wanted to say something or add to that?
Yeah, I was just noting that Maria has joined us in the Hangout, and she was saying earlier in the text chat that she's using them. She's creating badges in Edmodo, and as we see, that's a closed system within Edmodo, but it still has, for your students, has the same motivators. So can you tell us something about your experience with using badges in Edmodo?
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure, great.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you very much. I don't have many students, but I know I've heard that people who are using Edmodo badges, the children are thrilled to get them. It has great motivational value, especially in schools, you know. They are incredibly easier to produce. You just have to have a collection of pictures or whatever it is that you can have in the computer, and you just upload them and you send them directly to the student for having done a great job or whatever. So in motivational terms, it's great. Now, when I joined the session, I didn't know exactly what you were up to when you were talking about badges, and after, now I get it, now I understand it, and they remind me, or I don't know, they sound like the ISO norms. Have you heard about these norms?
No.
Well,
this is not important.
Because you know that there are these norms that attempt to some standardization of processes or managing things. They have to do with production and factories. Now,
yes,
so this would be like that, but for knowledge. So that's why I'm so excited about this. So I think this is a great idea. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. In a moment, I'll be sharing with you how the manufacturing industry in the United States is really picking up on this, too.
All right.
Perhaps it
relates. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for sharing.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, an interview with Mike Furyk, who is the CEO of Allison, which is a company in Ireland that does a lot of online training. And he put it this way. He said that a badge certifies to an employer that the person has got the experience and the knowledge, but not necessarily paid all the money, which could be, you know, kind of a job skill.
Yes.
The person is, you know, it means he didn't go through the channel, which is very expensive and teaches a lot of extraneous stuff, but he's actually focused, and it could suggest that he has good job skills and exactly what you're trying to hire him for.
Great, great example, Vance. We're going there now. You're getting ahead of me again there. Okay, let's move on then, shall we? I should tell you a little bit about Mozilla and the Open Badges concept. First of all, Mozilla is a nonprofit organization. I'm not getting any sort of a kickback or any promotional anything from Mozilla for this. It's something that each and every one of us could be involved in supporting. They're actively trying to promote the concept of open badges as a means to recognizing informal education. They really see that this is a major game changer. They've been successful in earning grants, financial assistance from a number of fairly prominent sources, one of which I'll share with you shortly here again. But the key thing here is with open badges is that they'd be free and open. No one owns them. The technical standards may be outlined by an organization to create them and issue them and verify them, but all of that must be freely available to anyone and everyone. That once the badge is earned, it should be up to the student where they can be moved to and presented. Which leads me to the next point about them being transferable. So you can collect them and display them how you wish. Stackable. You can set these up so that you have to earn a variety of badges prior to earning a master badge or a major badge. So in essence, what you're able to do is stack them. And then I've already alluded to this, but here it is spelled out very, very clearly. They need to be evidence-based for them to really have any credence. And that's a list of some of the details of that. We won't go into that here, but if we want to explore this further, we can. So now I'm going into a phase where I hope I can share with you how these are intended to work. I'm going to look at the world of work, the world of education, and then the world of professional development. Let's have a look at the in the world of work and look at a problem that's going on right now. Problem of young people finding jobs in the United States, especially. There's a big focus on this. People who don't have enough formal credentials, or they can't present evidence that they have sufficient skills to earn the right to take on an entry-level position. They're competing with people who may be out of works, on and on. It's a big problem. Let me give you an example here, a learner story. You can probably relate to someone who's in this very situation. Key here, not having may have the skills, but no way to demonstrate those skills. Can't afford to go to university. How about Ahmed, who's just about to graduate? When he goes to an employment interview, all he's got is a set of transcripts. And most employers are looking at this and they're saying, this doesn't mean much of anything. I really don't know who I'm hiring. You're not able to demonstrate to me your skills, what you've really learned, so that it's applicable to the job at hand. And then there's the point of view of the instructor, struggling to find out who's really in the class and struggling to find out, you know, what kind of skills they're coming into the course with, and knowing how to connect what evidence or whatever content I'm using to present to students, how do I know that it's even relevant to them? So I don't really have, as an instructor, I don't really have a sense of who my students are and what they're capable of coming in. And then, of course, there's the employer's position, which is becoming increasingly difficult, trying to find the right people for the job. A very, very expensive proposition, taking somebody in and then finding out that they just don't fit. Or even if I take them in and I'm prepared to train them, finding out 6 months later that they don't fit becomes a very, very costly business of trying to hire the right people. So those are current issues. They're real. I don't think they're specific just to the states. There they are, the workforce. Common issues today. So, where does open badges fit into this? Let's look at those same stories and the possibility for open badges here to make a difference. From the learner's perspective, there's the ability to earn those badges for skills that they already have and being able to demonstrate them to a potential employer. They can go out and learn those skills on their own. Remember, they're open badges. So the criteria will be or should be clearly spelled out so they can go to work and trying to learn and master those skills so that they can then earn the right to earn a badge. And then eventually being able to share those credentials or evidence of the skills that they've learned to a potential employer. And then we've got Ahmed coming out of school now with a resume, but armed to support that resume is a list of the kind of skills that he's been able to demonstrate and by demonstrating them earning a set of badges. And those badges also demonstrate to a potential employer Ahmed's long-term interests as well, so that they can begin to have more confidence about who they're potentially hiring here. And then the instructor not having a much better understanding of their students and knowing how they can design the curriculum that meets their students' varying interests. And if it isn't already clear, the employer really benefits from this by knowing a great deal more about their potential candidate, by seeing what sort of skills they can do. And hopefully those badges have been earned based on a set of standards that have been made public and they've been clearly spelled out. So, and I thought I'd share with you an example from the States, how the American Manufacturers Institute is looking at using open badges to realize just what I've presented to you. This is another short video from the Manufacturing Institute, and I'm hoping that you'll pay close attention to the questions I have listed there and how this video may be able to answer them.
Last year that I've worked, I applied for over 200 jobs.
Really?
200 jobs.
And how many callbacks did you get?
Two.
So you're hiring. We are hiring. We're hiring and we need to find good people. And that's really what the challenge is these days.
Oops. Go back here.
We might need to be a little aware of the time. We're coming up to the hour, to the top of the hour, and we're not in a brick and mortar institution, but we do have to be a little considerate of people's time. So maybe we should move on. And
you want me to move forward, Vance, on this? Okay. People can certainly see this afterwards. That's true.
And seeing that workforce, the American.
Essentially, the Manufacturing Institute is doing what it can to try and encourage people to get skilled, and not necessarily in a formal institution, because you're typically it's too expensive for a lot of people to get to. So they're introducing the concept of an M badge, a Manufacturing Institute badge, to earn the skills in a number of ways, and then from the manufacturer's perspective, looking for these students, encouraging them to get these skills, to then be able to employ them and fill this gap, this skills gap that they're talking about. We can skip these questions if perhaps we wanted right now to save time, but I thought it was really interesting to see this as more than simply a grade school thing or a high school thing, that it's extending beyond that and into the workforce. The other interesting one here was how this has raised the profile of badges has risen to the extent that we now have Bill Clinton and his Global Initiatives Agency promoting this in the States with some pretty high-profile goals here, the hopes of using digital badges to increase the employment opportunities for at least 2 million people between now and 2016. We can skip that.
Yeah, it might be useful to have the exact link of your slide share. We might already have it somewhere, but when you get a chance, you can paste it into the text chat so that people could follow along, maybe, and if they wanted to play
sure.
a video.
Yeah, sure. Right now, Vance, I'll get it. You can see me up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pop it in there.
And that thing you're looking at there, you could put that link in there as well, the notepad, the Titan pad that you have up.
Titan pad, I've given it already.
Okay.
But on the chance, I'll come back to it. To increase my screen real estate, I've actually taken away the links. Oh no, that's a different thing. I'll have to wait till later. There, I'm afraid they're advanced.
Yeah, it's okay. It's also up at Learning Together. It's everything we do is recorded and archived at learningtogether.net, and there you'll find all the links that Jim is putting up here. That will come after, probably tomorrow sometime.
Yeah. So now let's look at the world of education. Some of you have already been into this, but these may be some areas that you're not so familiar with, particularly at the university level. Most people would shy away from the idea of using badges at the university level. And yet, it's emerging. Purdue University in Indiana is really promoting this. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to show this to you. It's very short, 51 seconds. Vance, you comfortable with that? I'll do it.
I'm in it for the duration.
Okay.
This is Passport. It's a new way to think about flexible learning. It's learning management mixed with gaming meets ePortfolio. Students earn badges by completing learning activities presented as a series of challenges. Passport guides students through each task by providing a framework to submit documents, share links, complete quizzes, or gather approvals. Instructors can follow each student's progress and connect badges with course objectives. As badges are collected, they can be shared online as a Mozilla Open Badge or through the mobile portfolio. Take a challenge, show what you know. For more information, please visit purdue.edu/studio.
Okay, a lot of buzzwords there. Being flexible, being self-directed, lots of stuff coming out of there, just as applicable at the university level.
This is a good time to mention, too, that one of the other MOOCs you could be following now, if you're, because this is, Multimook is a not a MOOC itself, too few people, but it's a session about MOOCs. And one of the MOOCs we're looking at is Curator. That's C-U-R-A-T-R. And that's a website, it's a management system, actually, that works on badges. And the way they'll set tasks in that MOOC, and when you do the tasks, you earn badges, which then the earning of the badge lets you into the next level and gives you another set of tasks. So it can be designed like that, too. It could also be, the badge could become a gatekeeper. It's kind of what Purdue was doing, it seemed to me.
Yeah, they're really aiming at the student who's into that whole gaming lifestyle. Eh? Most of us 40 and up have not been exposed to. So, but it's not limited to Purdue. We've got it happening at the University of Waterloo in Canada. Really interesting perspective here on why they might be pursuing badges. I love the description here of a T-shaped graduate. So we're talking about somebody that not only has skill or a depth of knowledge on a particular subject, something they call vertical knowledge, but then they're now introducing this concept of horizontal knowledge or skills, things that typically are overlooked or not included as part of a graduate's degree. They wouldn't show up there. Nobody's going to get a degree on teamwork, for instance. But with the help of badges, that could be complementing the degree so that somebody going out into the workforce again has a much clearer idea of what the student knows, not just what they've taken in terms of subjects or co-op, but they've also got an opportunity to present the skills, these soft skills, or as Waterloo chooses to call them, horizontal skills to present. Yes, same thing here. Penn State's also exploring this and pointing out that one of the motivators will be the cost of higher education, that people will be looking at this as a perhaps viable alternative to going on to formal higher education. And their reference to using MOOCs and being able to award badges for skills demonstrated through the completion of a MOOC. Interesting times. And even in the world of PD. Here's a teacher who's set to work on earning badges within Edmodo. There's just one problem with this. It's not open. Poor Lisa Butler here can't migrate these badges into her perhaps LinkedIn account or Facebook or share them with anybody online, short of doing a screen capture, which would lose out on connecting the badges to the evidence that was used to realize them. And the open concept of PD is already occurring. I thought this was a great example. Here's an online training program offered by Training Magazine and offering a badge at the end of it, an open badge, using a program called Credly.com. Really simple to use. And you'd click the link there, view evidence, to see the evidence that was used to earn the badge.
Mubarak was just telling us in the text chat that he earned a badge and was referred to Credly.com. So it's too bad maybe he could put something in the text chat or come back in if his mic is working. But any event, there's something.
Yeah, that would be great if he could share with us that experience and how he felt about it. And is he using the badge now?
Good question. Benefit? Yeah. Let us know in the text chat.
Okay, I'll move on then here. Now, here's one that I'm really interested in. This is from New Zealand. This is from an association of librarians, school librarians in New Zealand. Now, I immediately thought, that can't be a very big group. That also is a group that doesn't meet very often. And they're scattered all over New Zealand. So the number of times that they actually come face-to-face, I would think, is very limited. So what are they doing to promote professional development? They're doing it almost entirely online. They've set up modules, and they've obviously, amongst themselves, set to work on creating these modules with certain standards attached to them, certain tasks to do to evidence their skill level, and then awarding these badges. And they must have some currency. This is a fantastic idea, and it's a concept that I'm hoping to realize for TESOL Arabia here in the Gulf region amongst EFL educators and their use of information technology. I'll pause there and invite anyone else to offer some questions. And before I move on, I was going to share with you just how these things work from a schematic point of view. And then I'll be close to done. Anyone? Thoughts? Reactions? No? Then I'll... Vance?
Well, I was just... Let's see. Going to Teresa in the... Teresa, you're welcome to join us. We're down to about 6 participants now. We said we have room for 4 more, so if you want, you can pop into the Hangout and talk to us if you want. But she was trying to remember, she said, Credly and also Jonathan Finkelstein's presentation, which I'll find the link for in a moment and put it into the text chat.
Now, I've got a list of them in a resource list that I'm preparing. Mm-hmm. It's on this link. Mm-hmm. I gave it earlier. I'm going to put it down here again. There you go. Go to that link and you'll find a link to where you can make these badges.
Yeah, and that's already up at Learning Together, so it definitely will make it into learningtogether.net in our archive.
Great. Mm-hmm. So for those interested in knowing sort of the overall scheme of how these things work, how they're constructed, let me share the following.
Yeah, and boy, it would be really nice, ideally, if we could make them work. Some badges work here in Multimook.
We will do it, Vance.
Oh, you're so reassuring.
We can do it.
All right. Tell us how, Jim.
Yeah, okay.
How can we do it?
Well, I'll give you the Reader's Digest condensed version right now.
Good. Okay.
This is a system overview. I think I got this from Penn State. And we've got on the far left here, we've got a badge issuer, and in the middle right, we've got somebody being an assessor, and smack dab between the two of them is a student. I'll zoom in on this and share a little bit more with you. Pretty straightforward. You've got somebody, not somebody who looks like this, I hope, but somebody who creates a badge. They have to have some idea of what the badge is for, and what tasks would need to be done to realize the badge. There might even be some badges required before this they want to connect to. Some thought. This is all about designing an ecosystem for the badges. I can explain this on another presentation, but for right now, just see it as a means to giving the badge more currency, more validity. So you've got it has a broader, there's a broader scope of broader number of people who are interested in the badge. And then on the other side, we have the learner who's looking to pick and choose which badges he or she might want to earn. And then setting to work to create the evidence to earn that badge. Submitting the evidence somewhere to someone to be approved. Not necessarily the same person who produced the badge, by the way. And then that approver, by reviewing the evidence, says yay or nay. And if they say yay, it's evident that the badge has then been earned. But if it's no, it means sending it back to the learner for revision. But if it's a yay, the badge earner gets the badge, and then they've got the ability to put it on view, however way they wish. Here's an example of some badges that I've earned. These are from a MOOC on open badges. I would highly, highly recommend, if anybody's interested in pursuing this any further with a fair bit of depth, it comes highly recommended. It's actually been designed in a collaboration, a partnership between Blackboard and Mozilla Open Badges. But these were the badges that I earned. I haven't actually finished the whole program, but that's just a start. And here I'm using Mozilla Backpack as a means to collecting my badges. And there's an example of clicking on a badge and seeing a link to the metadata, as it's called, which gives links to the criteria and potentially even to the evidence.
There's some nice comments in the text chat. Teresa says, I think we should talk more about badges. It's really interesting and useful. So it looks like you're having a good impact there, Jim.
And happy then to hear Ali. That.
Yes. And I put the link to the talk that Jonathan Finkelstein gave us on Badge Stack. So there's a link there. You can hear his recording. He did it in Illuminate, Blackboard Collaborate. And in that one, he described the back end, which Ali just referred to. Ali said it requires an automated subsystem, right? Otherwise, it'd be very time-consuming for teachers to be awarding these badges. And that's exactly, if you look at Jonathan's recording, that's exactly what he described. He describes how BadgeStack works on the back end, which is really interesting. And he also offered to work with us and try to, if we could implement something, but we never took him up on it. We're just too busy, I guess.
Yeah.
So many irons in the fire.
Now, the interesting thing to add to that is that Mozilla now is trying to create open source software to make this even easier to do. To add it to, say, Moodle. There's a module to be added to Blackboard, an LMS. And hopefully, there's already open source course sites. I'm thinking of Blackboard again here. Blackboard's course sites, which is available for free, where they actually have a badge module which you can set up yourself. So a lot of this background work you don't have to be involved with. Most of it will already be done for you. And if Mozilla Open Badges has its way, it should become even easier to use within the foreseeable future. I know that they're actively trying to do this. I think 2014 is supposed to be the year they're aiming to realize this. Okay, I wanted to share with you possible applications here. Here could be where you are, but I was thinking a lot of the context that we've got here, typically in the Gulf region. I'm looking at recognizing outreach activities, volunteer efforts. A real big problem here is siloing. You know, you've got subject matter experts that stay together, and there's no cross-disciplinary work. They tend to work in isolation. This may be a way to countering that. crossover skills, etc., a way to bridging that gap. And then ultimately, if it isn't already apparent, encouraging informal and self-directed learning. The University of Waterloo picked up on this use of badges being invaluable for promoting professional development. And to close, I should share with you some of the criticism, because I don't want to give you the false impression that all is wonderful with the world of badges. Perhaps you've got some of your own already, or you can anticipate what some of these issues are likely to be. There's somebody tapping away there.
Oh, that was probably me. I'm sorry. Because I was about to talk. I was just about to mention that Jeff LeBeau has turned up in the text chat and is starting to chime in there. So let's see if we can get him in here. His mic usually works.
Great.
And you came at a
put
good
up the
time.
Word criticism.
Yes. Uh-huh, yeah. Well, he knows about badges.
That's good.
He'll have a few things to say about them.
Fire away.
Okay.
Or should I just go run these off?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Let's do that.
Run through them and give us some points of departure.
Well, what are they saying? Here's one. We're using badges as a motivator. Is that a good thing all the time? Are we giving rewards for things that kids should already be doing anyways?
Eleni said in an earlier statement in the text chat that when she was getting badges, it was bringing out her inner child. So there you are, counter-criticism.
Okay. Another one. Shouldn't the students be designing the badges?
There we go. Challenge for Multimook.
Yes. Student-centered, not issuer-centered. That's fine. It should work. I mean, the students identify what they want to learn and then have somebody who's in a position to be a guide or a facilitator or a director or whatever, an expert, outline perhaps what the criteria is or negotiate it with the students.
We've got to say goodbye to Maria, who's just slipped out. She has to go lunchtime, she says. And Teresa raises 2 points about credibility, trustworthiness. Any comments there? Or is that coming up in your slides?
I'm not sure. I'm not able to read that and see this at the same time, unfortunately.
No worries. I'm keeping you informed. I'm the moderator.
Okay, that's good.
I'm
you're doing the
monitor. Yeah.
You're doing a great job. That's good. And the last point here is just the validity and security of all this. Is how easy is it for people to game the system to earn the badge? If the badges have the credibility that we think they do, and people are actually working to realize them, we're still prone to finding people gaming them, or perhaps even giving them away to others who haven't earned them. So there are issues about validity and security in the arrangement.
Of course, what's different about that in a brick-and-mortar institution? I mean, people are gaming those systems all the time. Plagiarism is rife. There's the credibility of online degrees, which are offered by some institutions. I know some institutions in the UAE, for example, are a little bit leery, or they used to be anyway, about accepting online certificates or degrees. Maybe they've changed their attitudes now. This is 10 years ago, I'm thinking. But, there's going to be these points no matter where you are and in what context you're operating in.
It's a good point. Very good point. It's one to also be aware of, too, because if they are going to be given out to students, it's important to be careful about how they're going to be awarded and are students likely how you can combat this possible abuse of the system. And that's about it. I hope my purpose has been filled. My aim was to provide a quick introduction to digital open badges. I've gone through a process here with you in a little over an hour. It's taken me a good length of time much longer than an hour to realize. And I hope you see the possible benefits of this and such that you might want to entertain realizing them within the MOOC. I sure hope so. And I'd like to present the opportunity of doing that with you in the spirit of connectivism, connectedness, see where we can, how we can work together to realize it.
Well, the gauntlet is on the table. That's the challenge for the for Multimook now, is to come up with a badge and try to see if we can award ourselves badges at the end of this, and maybe tie into with Mozilla. So, and Jim, I hope you'll be present to help guide us in this effort. And there's Jeff. Mr. Jeff LeBeau is here with the ultra-iridescent glasses. They must be magic. How are you doing, Jeff?
Very well. Is my audio okay?
Your audio is fine.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt the ending.
No worries. Just cutting out. Stage left.
This is the grand entry, Jeff. What are you talking about?
Well, I've just caught like the last 10 or 15 minutes, and you know I'm kind of tuned into badges, and you know the question that I put in the chat room was, what about you know people get, like you were addressing at the end, gaming the system? But it also, like, I wonder when someone posts a badge on their site or whatever else, what happens when they click on it? Does it go to, okay, you've just earned this badge, or could it be kind of a convergence with a portfolio? So if you click on a badge, you see what that person did to earn that badge.
Yeah, that's the way. Well, that's the ideal, Jeff. I mean, most of us without the background in programming and the like are going to go with the simplest of options, and that would be, you know, simply awarding somebody a badge. We become the gatekeeper in deciding who gets it and for what. But for making links to evidence, yeah, that's the ideal. So somebody produces the evidence, and we as an issuer of the badge create a link. And we also have to provide a repository for that evidence too. Eh? That's another issue. It needs to be a secure place. And there are places popping up. I just came across one just a few days ago that came up in a Google alert on open badges, which was promoting this, a repository for evidence that's being used to support the earning of badges.
Well, perhaps that should be a badge, self-archiving, to archive all your badge worthiness endeavors.
Yeah, that's I never thought of that. That's clever.
That's kind of what BadgeStack does, or the other open system. You know, a backpack. You're supposed to have a backpack, and yeah, the badges go in your backpack. Eleni makes an interesting point. She says, why not, you know, on this, so people don't work toward the badges and create a carrot chase. She says, why not negotiate badges with your students as you go, so they don't know the badges in advance. They just award badges sort of as they, something appropriate, something the class thinks we'll create a badge for this, which you know, I don't know if the time is so short here in Multimook, we may not be able to do that in the next few weeks, but in a class where you've got them all semester, you could certainly design and create badges and award them and make sure that they have some standard attached to them. That would be a good, that's like learning about Creative Commons.
Yes, great idea. Mm-hmm. Like it. It's a really good point somebody points up there, and that's why this notion of having a repository for them, a safe place for them, that's independent.
Guest 890.
Yeah,
you
that's
might identify
the one I'm
yourself.
Referring to.
Yes. What happens when if the site closes down? Again, a problem in the real world, all over the place. You know, things are closing down, so there you have to make sure you're badge is exportable and backed up somewhere, and that the standard is something that is that crosses you know, credibility in institutions.
That's the same criticism for e-portfolios cropping up.
Mm-hmm.
Where should they be residing?
Well, Jim Groom has the domain of one's own idea, and his people at I can't remember, Washington, Mary Washington College, I think, is that college gives every entering freshman a domain. And so they all start out with a domain, and then they've got it. You know, they can they cool. That's different. They host, they keep their stuff, you know, they create.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to cut out here, folks, but before I do, I'm prepared to field any more questions that people might have. I just want to run away here and feel like I'm abandoning you. And if there aren't any questions, that's fine too. Maybe they'll come
up. I'm getting hungry.
Can imagine.
Jeff is getting sleepy. Ali, I don't know. Ali is must be about dinner time for you.
Sort of just after lunchtime, 3 o'clock, 3:30. So.
Well, that's not too bad.
Well, thank you very much,
folks. You're welcome.
It looks like Chatwing is working pretty well. I got that idea from Elizabeth Ann, who said it was used in crafting the ePerfect textbook. So we got this idea by cross-feeding other EVO sessions, and that's what Multimook is about. We consider, you know, that's what we're trying to learn from as many MOOCs as possible, and so it's been really easy to follow the chat, and we appreciate everybody who contributed in that chat and who's popped in and talked to us here in the session, and three co-moderators together for the first time ever, all in one space. That's really nice. So thank you very much for all the work you've done on this presentation, Jim. It was a really nice presentation.
Well, I'm glad. I hope it's available to people. Should recognize that it's available for access afterwards should they wish to consult with it. I'm certainly also open to suggestions on how it might be improved as well, folks.
And it's in SlideShare, and that link will be provided in our archived materials at learningtogether.net, and the recording of this session is going to be there in YouTube. So Magda has to leave, and there we get the hint. We got to leave too. Bye, everybody. Sweet. Thanks very much.
See ya.
Bye-bye, then.
Thanks.
Okay, I think there we go. So if you say goodbye now, you get the big screen. Oh, it's just Jeff and I. Okay. Bye, Jeff. I'm going to at least stop the recording. Okay.
Okay. And I love Chatwing. I've been waiting for Chatwing for years. That's what I've been waiting for. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really nice. I like it.
People can log in with whatever they want. You've got moderator functionality. It's light. Mm. Yay.
You were using something. What were you using last time?
Oh, it was some... It's a one-time deal. I don't have to remember it. I'll never use it again. Because Chatwing's been...
On that topic, Dave Cormier is using Unhangout from MIT, where our
with the breakout sessions, yeah.
Yeah, I looked at that, and it doesn't say how to do that. You know, I looked at the help, and it says how to start an Unhangout session. It describes how to do it, but doesn't have any links.
Request an Unhangout here somewhere, and I also never found the chat archive from that.
Well, he's got it. I'll make sure you get that link. That's at his. It's at the Unhangout link. The archive is there. It goes down the side of the window. The YouTube display is there, and then the chat is replicated there.
Nice find. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Rhizo 14. Rhizomatic Learning. 2014 Dave Cormier's MOOC, which is going on at this time and which we're all actually learning. But actually, next week, we're going to, in our declare phase, we're going to be looking more closely at that MOOC and how in a real MOOC content gets aggregated. So there'll be a lot more content there to aggregate. We can show that, say, in comparison to Multimook, which has very little content, and it tends to be just a couple of faces, like mine, for example. But anyway, in a real MOOC, content gets aggregated, and so looking at real MOOCs is how we understand how it works, since we're not really a MOOC. We're a session. We're a moose. Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah, thanks very much.
I'm off.
Okay. I'm going to stop the broadcast.
Thanks again, Glass.
Okay.
Knife from
thanks
Korea.
Thanks for popping by, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
I'll look forward to catching the part I missed.
Okay.
Bye.